Welcome to the space show, Lester.
Thank you, Andrew.
There was a big explosion of a star in 1987. It's now called Supernova 1987A. Caused quite a stir at the time. Is any work still being done on that supernova, or is it now just history?
Optically, it's getting to be history. It's very faint, very difficult to keep track of. But in the radio, it's a different story. About 3 years ago, in July 1990, to be precise, it turned on as a radio source, and since that time, it's been getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Now, the reason for that, this brightening, is it's as the shock wave from the supernova expands into the surrounding region, it's expanding into interstellar material and material thrown off from the progenitor star, that is the star that blew up. And as this interaction takes place, the radio emission gets brighter and brighter. And we're now at a stage where the radio emission is quite significant, and it's the shockwave has gone so far from the star that we're now able to resolve the emission with the Australia telescope at Narrabri. And by resolve, I mean to say that we can pick up details in its structure. And it seems from these studies that the expanding shockwave is about to interact with what is called the Hubble Space Telescope Circumstellar Ring, which is a ring of matter thrown off by the progenitor star when it was in its red supergiant phase. And this ring of matter was ionized by the when the star went bang, and glows visibly in the optical. And it seems that the blast wave from the supernova is now very close to interacting with this circumstellar ring. And when the point comes in a few years' time when this interaction takes place, we're going to see an almighty increase in the flux density from SN1987A. So I think for the next decade at least, this supernova is going to be very interesting to follow with the Australia telescope.
So how should we visualise this? We've got a stream of matter coming out from the star at what, about a tenth of the speed of light?
Yes, we have enormous velocities from this supernova, many tens of thousands kilometres per second, about a tenth of the speed of light, as you say. And this has been slowed down a little bit by the material around the star, or what was the star. Material around the star will slow down the shock wave, but to date there's been very little deceleration of the supernova, and that's a result from our radio observations. So it seems that at least for the next few years this expansion will continue at about a tenth the speed of light, and the interaction I mentioned will occur perhaps later on this decade.
So what exactly is it that's coming out of the star? Is it just protons and electrons, or is it heavy atomic nuclei as well?
Well, the outer envelopes are mainly the lighter nuclei, the hydrogen and helium. And the shockwave is formed by the collapse of the star and the subsequent bounce of the shock as the star turned into a neutron star, passed through the stellar envelope in a very short period of time. And this situation rapidly develops into a shockwave, a bit like cracking a whip. And this shockwave is now passing through the interstellar medium. So what is causing the interaction is actually a shock wave as a result of the explosion of the star, which is passing through the medium round about the progenitor star.
Now, you're at the Australia Telescope picking up radio signals coming from this material. What does it sound like, or do you not actually listen to it? I mean, you think of radio, like Southern FM, as something you listen to, but you've just shown me an actual picture. How do you convert this radio signal into a picture that people can see?
Well, the radio signals that we image are not like your FM station. It's a broadband signal that occurs over a very large bandwidth, and we're not imaging a spectral line, we're just imaging the continuum radiation from this shockwave, which is created by high energy particles from the shock spiraling in magnetic fields. So if you were to listen to this on a radio, if you had a very, very sensitive radio, all you'd hear is a noise, an increase of noise coming from the position of the supernova. So you wouldn't hear a signal as such, just an increase in noise. And the way we image this at Narrabri is in order to obtain the very high angular resolutions we need, instead of having one very, very large dish, what we have is six smaller 22-meter dishes arranged in an array that's 6 kilometers in size. And by connecting the antennas together in the correct way, we're able to simulate a giant aperture 6 kilometers in diameter, and that enables us to see the fine details of the structure of the supernova. In fact, our highest resolution to date is something like 1 second of arc, which is about a 60th of the finest detail the human eye can see, and very comparable with optical telescopes, to which it's well matched.
Now, when the shock wave hits the stellar material that was coming out of the progenitor star before, you've mentioned it's going to brighten enormously. Is this going to make the job of tracking this material easier or harder, and will it tell you new things about it?
Yes, as it becomes brighter, it will be much easier to study. At the moment, we need fairly long integrations, about 12 hours each time, in order to see the supernova. If it brightens by an order of magnitude, it'll make it very much easier to study, very much easier to image, very much easier to get a diameter from, very much easier to see the expansion as it occurs. We can observe the supernova 1 year and come back the next year and look for the changes in its size as a result of the expansion of the remnant.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Lister.
My pleasure, Andrew.
And perhaps we'll come back in 2000 or a little beyond and hear how the brightening's gone on.
Good.